A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary of Magdala. Seeing his mother and the disciple he loved standing near her, Jesus said to the mother, "Woman, this is your son." Then to the disciple he said, "This is your mother." And from that moment, the disciple made a place for her in his home. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Father Justinian and I were talking there this afternoon, and we're saying what we all do tomorrow night. 9 nights here at the Novena, all praying together, gathering for Mass and for prayer. And tomorrow night will be very quiet, and next week too. And we have lived through these days of prayer, through the 7 sorrows of Mary, then last night the Feast of the Holy Cross, and tonight the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. And so we get on with the rest of our life. And what was it like for our Blessed Lady? Not just at the end of a novena, but at the end of this journey of the 7 sorrows. And what was to happen after that? And St. John says in the Gospel, he says at the end of it here, the disciple made a place for her in his home. And is that how the story finishes? That St. John just takes Our Lady to his own house, and she lives there, and he looks after her, and she looks after him, and that's the rest of it. And we know it's not like that. We know from the Acts of the Apostles on Pentecost Sunday, when the apostles gathered together in prayer, they did so with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and that she was there praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit whom Jesus had sent forth on Calvary. Because just after this text we have heard, just after this text in St. John's Gospel, St. John says of the death of Jesus, bowing his head, he handed over his Spirit. That Jesus hands over the Spirit on Calvary from the cross, and that same Spirit comes down on the apostles gathered in prayer with Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so Our Lady is there at this moment, and she's there at the moment of Pentecost. And she is there as the mother of Jesus in Calvary, and present in Pentecost as the mother of the Church. And there is the meaning of the words Jesus speaks on the cross, and the meaning of that last sentence of the Gospel we have just heard. For Jesus says to Mary, "Woman, behold your son," and to the beloved disciple, "Behold your mother," and then the disciple takes her to his own home. Now we know that the beloved disciple is St. John, speaking about himself, but for St. John, the beloved disciple is more than just himself. So when he speaks in the Gospel about the beloved disciple, he's saying, this is how to be a good disciple. And he's saying, if you want to live as a disciple of Jesus, this is how you live. And the beloved disciple, in that sense, symbolizes the Church. And each of us, to be part of the Church, to be fully alive in the Church, each of us is called to live as the beloved disciple. To welcome Mary into our home, to welcome Mary into our heart and into our life. To hear the words of Jesus, "This is your mother," knowing that when Jesus said to Mary, "This is your son, this is your daughter," he was referring to each of us as a beloved disciple of the Lord. But what happens to our Blessed Lady after this? She is there in the heart of the church. She is there reminding the church what the church is meant to be, reminding each of us what it means to live as a Christian, to live as a Catholic. And above all, our Blessed Lady reminds us that being a Catholic, being a Christian, it's not just about an idea. People today present Christianity as a good way of life, lots of good notions in it, lots of good things to help you live your life. But our Blessed Lady is there to remind us that at the heart of our Christianity, at the heart of our Catholicism, is a relationship. And Jesus says to her, there is your son, there is your daughter, and he says to us, there is your mother, to remind us of that relationship. And Mary, in a sense, her presence in the church is the guarantee of the heart of the church, that the church is not just an idea, that the following of Christ is not just an idea, but that at the heart of the church is that relationship. And what does Mary herself do in the days after these seven sorrows that we have followed during this novena? St. Francis de Sales, in his book, The Treatise on the Love of God, he says that Mary took all the sufferings of Jesus and all the pain of her own sorrow, and she treasured them in her heart. Do you remember that sentence in the Gospel? We had it during the week, where it talks in the early life of Jesus about our Blessed Lady, and it says, as for Mary, she treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. When we think of that, we naturally think of the words of Jesus, what he has said. We think of the bright things in the Gospel, the cheery things in the Gospel. But St. Francis de Sales reminds us that Mary treasures also in her heart the sufferings of Jesus, and indeed her own sorrows. And that Mary carries these in her heart. And why does she do this? She does this because that is her role in the church. And she is the one who teaches us how to remember the Passion of Christ, and teaches us that this is an essential part of being a disciple of Jesus, to treasure in our heart not just the joy of following him, but also the pain, the suffering of Christ, and the sorrows of Mary. Do you remember in the third sorrow, when we were reflecting on the finding of the child Jesus in the temple, and our Blessed Lady and St. Joseph had been searching for Christ, and they found the child Jesus, 12 years old, in the midst of the doctors in the temple, and when they spoke to him, and they said, we've been looking for you for days, we've been looking for you everywhere, he said, do you not know I must be about my Father's business? And remember what the evangelist said after that. He said, but they did not understand what he meant. And Mary pondered these words, St. Luke said. And Mary's pondering of this, and Mary's carrying of all of this in her heart, brings her into the light of understanding. And on Calvary, at the foot of the cross, when Jesus says these words to her, woman, behold your son, meaning the beloved disciple who is each of us, Mary receives the grace of understanding. And Mary understands what is his Father's business. And she treasures not just the words of Jesus, but the pain and the suffering of Jesus in her heart. And it's Mary, the mother of the church, the mother of sorrows, who teaches us about the meaning of the mystery of suffering. How do you come to understand the meaning of suffering? You don't do it by thinking about it. You don't do it by reading books about it. But you come to understand the mystery of suffering in union with Mary, carrying in your heart the sufferings of Jesus, allowing the pain of Christ to penetrate deeply into your own heart. And Mary is the one who teaches us this. And what is the secret of suffering that Mary understands on Calvary? What is the secret of suffering that she wishes to share with each one of us? It's a secret so strange that we find it many times in our life difficult to grasp, difficult to face. And that is the presence of love in suffering. Why does Mary treasure the sufferings of Jesus? Why does Mary carry in her heart the memory of the Passion of Jesus? Because she has come to understand that this is indeed the revealing of God's love. And the truth of the love of God is revealed fully on the cross. And so for ourselves in our own life, when we struggle in life with the things that we cannot come to understand, we won't come to understand by thinking about it or reading about it or even talking about it, but by allowing in some way through prayer, allowing in some way through coming to the presence of Christ, allowing our own pain to be immersed in the pains of the sufferings of Jesus. This is what Mary learns at the foot of the cross, and this is what she seeks to share with each one of us during these days. We ask then for the grace to be like Mary, to treasure all of this in our hearts, to carry in our heart the remembrance of the pain, the suffering of Jesus, and through that, to come to some deep awareness of the love of God revealed in the cross, a love that seeks to reach into our own pain, seeks to reach into those places where words cannot go, so that God himself, Jesus himself, who gave his life for us, can truly enter into our heart as he entered into the heart of Mary. When the gospel says the disciple took her to his own home, it's saying there that the disciple, you and me, has to find a place for the kind of heart that Mary has, a heart which has a space for Christ. There are things happen to us which we find difficult to understand. There are pains that we endure in life which are beyond words. We ask then, on the last day of this novena, as we pray for all the intentions which we place before the Lord this night, we ask for ourselves, for the grace through our contemplation of the suffering of Jesus, to have also his love present in our hearts. May the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary be ever in our hearts. Amen.
O most holy and afflicted Virgin, Queen of Martyrs, who stood on Mount Calvary when your Son was in agony, by the sword of sorrow which pierced your heart, by the sufferings of your whole life on earth, by your unspeakable joy in heaven, look down with maternal pity and tenderness as I kneel before you to sympathize with your sorrows and to place my petition with childlike confidence in your wounded heart. I beg of you, dear Mother, to plead for me with your divine Son, since he can refuse you nothing, and through the merits of his most sacred passion and death, together with your own suffering at the foot of his cross, so to move his Sacred Heart, that I may obtain this request. Having mentioned our request, we take this opportunity of thanking the Lord for all the graces he has given us during this novena through the intercession of Our Lady of Sorrows. And now we continue. To whom shall I go in my need and misery, if not to you, O Mother most merciful, you who pity us poor exiles still sighing in this valley of tears? Offer to Jesus for us but one drop of his most precious blood, but one pang of his loving heart. Remind him that you are our life, our sweetness, and our hope, and your prayer on my behalf will be heard. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your clemency, hear and answer me. Amen.